show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Zing Zang Cocktail in a Can, Wind Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a man at every base now, Espinal at third, Zimmer at second, Springer at first. And you know Bichette is going to be swinging for the fences.
Hello.
1-0 pitch. High fly ball driven deep to right field. Jackie's back at the wall. It's gone. Grand slam for Bo Bichette.
Wow.
That is the first grand slam of his career.
All the damage has been the long ball. This one was a backbreaker, a little slammage the other way. And the way he came out of the box, he knew it was gone. You think he hit that ball 500 feet because he knew that ball was gone.
So all of the work by Nathan Eovaldi and all the work the Red Sox did in the top of the eighth inning to tie the game just went over the wall.
That's how it ended last night in Toronto, effectively anyway. Red Sox down 2-0 for much of the night. They come back, they get two in the top of the eighth to lock the score. Nathan Eovaldi comes out of the game. Danish gives up a grand slam. They lose 6-2 to the Blue Jays, and it feels like they are reeling. 617-779-0985. Jared Carabas of DraftKings is in studio. We'll start with him. We have an abbreviated show tonight again because the Bruins and Florida Panthers are coming up at 7 o'clock. Which means pregame at 6:30, which means if you want to talk baseball, now is the time to do it. Do not dilly-dally. Again, 617-779-0985 is your number. We'll get you your calls as soon as possible. But what's wrong with your baseball team, Jared? What is the issue?
The offense, Tony. It's the offense.
So that's number one on the list, right? Yeah. Doesn't it have to be?
It has to be. I mean, that was supposed to be one of your strengths. I said it before the game, or it might have been during the game when it was 2-0 Toronto, something to the effect of if the offense was even half of what they were supposed to be, you're looking at the best record in the division. And that's, you know, it's you're not going to say if it was this, then it would be that. I get it. They're struggling right now. I'm not here to blame the baseballs, which is an entirely different a stance that some people are taking with offense being down across the board. Red Sox offense is just not getting it done. You look at some guys in that lineup that should be carrying their weight and just aren't. I would say the only person that's exempt of any blame right now is Xander Bogaerts, the guy that you don't want to keep. Not you, but the Red Sox.
Right.
It's strange to me.
Yeah, so look, the lineup is the core of the matter. And your point about the baseballs, because I don't know how many people have seen this, but There was a story out there in The Athletic, and it's been written in multiple places at this stage, that the ball has been deadened. The ball is not carrying like it used to.
Well, you know what it is?
The dragon. Oh, you think it's a humidor?
No, I think because they were complaining about the pitch grip last year, you can't use sticky stuff. I think they raised the seams on the baseball to help with grip, and in the process of doing that, you create more drag, which equals less carry on the ball.
Okay, so that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
That, again, you raise the seams on the ball, you give the pitchers a better grip to throw breaking balls, mm-hmm. and now as a result, when the ball's hitting the air, it doesn't carry as far. Just quickly, do you believe that is, like, have you been able to witness that? Like, do you, because I see it in games. I see balls off the bat that I say,
they look crushed. Even specifically, if you narrow it down to just last night, that one game, how many balls were absolutely stung that just died in front of the warning track? Multiple baseballs. But, I mean, how are we supposed to sit here and say, oh, my God, the baseballs, when the Blue Jays hit three home runs, including a grand slam, win the baseball game?
Right, and that's the baseball is the argument for why offense is down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the argument for why the Red Sox are losing.
Correct.
Okay, and so there are multiple variables there, one of which is the pitching staff, and I know people are focused on that, but I honestly think the pitching staff as a whole has been okay.
Yeah.
I think they've pitched well enough, and I'm not telling you that they've executed in every spot, but this team is built to hit. It's built to win 6-5. It's built to win 7-4. It's not built to win 3-2. It wasn't last year, and it isn't now. Now, late in the year last year, they got a little bit better at those lower-scoring games, if you remember. But early in the year, they had a lot of difficulty winning close, low-scoring games, which brings me to some of the situational stuff, okay? So before the grand slam last night, this happened, which was, to me, a huge, huge play in the inning. And incredibly, I don't think Will Venable was asked about it after the game, which I understand, I suppose, because it was pretty obvious. But there was one out. There was a man on base. It was Brad Zimmer, I think, at the plate, who tried to bunt for a hit, and this happened.
Showing a bunt, drags it. Strom flips it, dropped, and everybody's going to be safe.
Boy, that was going to be a great play by Strom to get rid of it. You know, left-handed pitcher coming down to the line, that's all he could do. Flipped it in a headlong dive, and Bobby D just couldn't make the play. See what happened here. I thought this was trouble right away. For him to get to this, all he can do is this. The ball hit his glove. He missed it.
Yeah, they're going to rule this a base hit.
It clanked. That's a clank. That's an error. When I go to school.
Yeah, no question. Ruled a base hit. Red Sox will make a pitching change, so that's it for Strom.
So, in the immediate aftermath of that sequence, again, that is the play that got Matt Strom out of the game. Okay, that bunt, it was a mound trip, and the Tyler Danish was brought in. Will Venable said after the game that he wanted a double play there. Springer singled into left center field. It loaded the bases. That ball wasn't especially hard hit, but it got through, and then Bichette hits a grand slam. So, if you just look at the last three games, Jared, the Trevor Story Dahlbeck play on Saturday night, then the one last night with Dahlbeck at first base involved again. If those two plays go the other way, they convert the out on Saturday night, they converted last night. I know they didn't have the lead, but they have a chance to win. Don't we have an entirely different vibe about the team?
I think specifically Saturday, because you lose two out of three to Tampa. You should have won that game on Saturday night. And if you come out of that series winning two out of three there, you start off your week feeling a little bit different. And, you know, you go into the series opener in Toronto, you lose that game. It's like, all right, you know, it's a four-game set. You see what you got. But when it's kind of more of the same, it changes the entire dynamic. You're not just looking at one series versus the next series. Now it's a stretch of games where it's one series into the next series where it's just, am I watching the same game over and over again? That's why I think Saturday was far more important. That result in the defensive miscue was far more glaring than the one on Monday.
The play with Story to Dahlbeck, and I want to take a couple of calls with you too, but the Story play on Saturday night, do you put that on Story, on Dahlbeck, or on both?
Both. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the still image of Dahlbeck at first base, I think, is the one that went around the most. But overall, I think he's been, outside
better.
Of those two plays, yeah, he's been
better.
Much better. I think it's been better on the corners. Like, Devers has been noticeably better. Dahlbeck has been noticeably better. But then you have those plays where it just the complete wrong time. Like, you can have a defensive miscue and people be like, all right, yeah, that's going to happen from time to time. But when you can pinpoint it to a moment where you lost the game, that's when it's like, all right, well, now we got to get him out of here and send him down and bring up Cassis. If that's just a play in the second inning and it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, no one's talking about it, but it directly led to a Red Sox loss.
Yeah, and there are, a lot of issues that a lot of people are now citing here, and this is what happens when you're 7-11, I think they are, right? Is that what it is? So Blake's on the Cape. Blake, go.
Hey, Matt, I think the Red Sox are a lot of trouble in not signing Seiya Suzuki, who might be the best bat in baseball this year behind Mike Trout, and letting Schwarber go, who is a huge part of the lineup in the clubhouse, has been a huge problem. I don't think this is a playoff team we're looking at.
Okay, so look, right now they're not, Blake. It's not even worth talking about the playoffs. Whenever a team's under 500 the way they are, I always say get to 500 first.
Yeah.
Then we'll talk about the playoffs. But the way the roster was constructed, Jared, there's 7-10, not 7-11. Do you have what are your biggest issues with the composition of the roster?
I would say, man.
I mean, I know you wanted more pitching. Okay, so I'll tell you what.
It is the starters, because I think when you look at it, it's so, like, all right, Michael Wacha has been pitching above his means. Nathan Eovaldi has been pretty. He's given you a chance to win every single time out. Have they won every single time? No. So when we talked about it at the open of the show, what's the biggest issue right now? It's the offense, but we expect this team to hit. So I guess it's still starting pitching, even though that hasn't been the glaring issue for why they're 7-10.
Okay, so tell you what, let me break it into two parts. Let's do the positional part of it first. What's your biggest issue with the positional part of it?
Oh, the outfield defense. Yeah. I think with what you could have done, and I know that, like,
so
say
you're talking about Arroyo being out there.
Yeah, I mean, and Kike, for as great as he was last year, he's not an outfielder. You know, I mean, he was not an everyday player until last year. So to go into a season where you have a guy like Christian Arroyo, who I think you can see improvement with him. He's never played the outfield before, and that's what you got going in. And then you have Kike, who's not a natural center fielder. And then Verdugo, who, defensively speaking, I don't think that there were rave reviews last year about his defense. I know he's got a cannon of an arm, but, yeah, I think defensively, you don't have a great outfield right now.
Okay, so I'll tell you what it is for me, and I'll make this quick, because, again, we have an abbreviated show. Right now, I think the biggest second guess on Bloom is on the right side of the diamond. First base, second base, right field. Mm-hmm. I include all three of those. So, Story obviously has a good resume, but it hasn't worked yet.
Defensively, he's been really good.
Okay, but he also is that error was a big error on Saturday night.
But that I think that goes back to my point of he's been great overall, but because that was the one play where it affected the outcome of a game at the very end, it sticks out more.
Okay, how do you feel about his throwing overall at that position?
Good.
Okay, I don't. I feel like his throwing's been a little erratic. It's early.
Yeah.
It's a new position. I'm not telling you it's going to stay that way. But I think if you go by modern metrics, defensive run saved, at least going into last night.
You're a defensive run save guy, Tony.
Well, it's what everyone else is using. He's a minus one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it. I mean, even the years that, like, Jackie Bradley Jr. was wowing us with his defense, defensive run saves never loved him either. It's weird. There were years where Mike Trout was, like, a zero in defensive run saved, and he was one of the best defensive. So it's not really a knock on defensive run saves so much as it is a knock on defensive metrics. Like, we haven't perfected that yet.
Okay, how do you feel about his offense?
Trevor Story? Hasn't been good.
Okay, so his offense hasn't been
but
good.
But there's reason for that, too. I mean, the guy didn't have a spring training. He was sick, and then he had a kid. So, I mean, he hasn't had a chance to get into a rhythm.
Jared, I'm not telling you I dislike the player.
Right.
I'm just telling you that to now, they haven't gotten a return on it.
Sure, but so, Bogaerts actually made that point, and he's not an excuse maker. It was the final game of the homestand, and he even said in front of the media, yeah, you know, we didn't really have a spring training. Like, when it asked about the offense scuffling, he's like, yeah, well, a lot of guys, I mean, we're still trying to get our timing down. We're trying to get a rhythm. So, yeah, I think guys are feeling it, and no one wants to sit there, especially in Boston, and make excuses for why they're not performing, because excuses don't play. The fan base wants you to go out there and win ball games, but as it pertains to having an excuse, they didn't have a full spring training. They didn't.
But no one did.
Right.
Okay, so how does that make them any different than anybody else? And then the other thing is, what I would say is offensively, first base, second base, and right field have not been good.
Nobody's been good besides Bogaerts offensively.
So Devers was good for a little while there. Martinez has been decent when he's been in there. Mm-hmm. But that's probably it. You're probably right about that. Yeah. I want to get to some other stuff from last night's game, too, as it pertains to the pitching staff and the decision-making. And if you're on the line, Justin, Chris, Colin, don't go anywhere. We'll get to your calls when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think Nate was only at 72 pitches when you guys took him out. How much did you consider maybe leaving him in for the bottom of the order there?
Yeah, the way we were looking at it is we weren't going to have him face the top of the order again, and it was a really good pocket for Strom. We kind of highlighted that spot going in, and, you know, Nate gave us everything we needed tonight, and, you know, regardless of pitch count, it was just a really good spot for Strom there.
That's Will Venable filling in for Alex Cora, explaining why he took Nathan Eovaldi out of the game last night. 72 pitches through seven innings. Game was tied 2-2 in the top of the eighth. So, again, maybe by then they had already made the decision to take him out. I'm not sure. Strom obviously was up, but the Red Sox tied the game. Eovaldi comes out. Strom goes in. Blue Jays rally. They lose. Red Sox lose 6-2. Now three games under 500. They've lost three in a row. Just quickly, they get three more in Toronto. Before we get to the calls, would you have left Eovaldi in that game last night?
I would have. Yeah, I would have. I know that the home run ball has been an issue for Nate all year so far. He had given up two, but solo shots. I can live with that. I can live with that. If you give me seven innings and two earned runs, maybe he gives up another one. Seven innings, three earned runs. They're all homers. Yeah, fine. I'll take that over a grand slam allowed by a relief pitcher. All due respect to him. That was only there because Tanner Houck couldn't be on the roster.
Correct.
It's the only reason why he was there.
I mean, Danish wouldn't have even been in Toronto if, and it wasn't just Houck, it was also Crawford, right?
Yes, Cutter Crawford would have been there, yes.
Yeah. So again, look, Crawford hasn't exactly lit it up here in the early part of the year, but...
I like my chances with Cutter Crawford better in that spot. I'm not trying to put the loss on Danish.
No, I know what you mean. Better stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, better stuff.
Sure.
So, look, this is what the game is now, and you heard him say it there. We weren't going to let him go another time through. So it's just ridiculous to me that this is what the game has become. You got your ace on the mound. He's throwing 72 pitches. You take him out.
You think Cora keeps him in?
Possibly. So here's what I would say. You know, Cora was managed it a certain way last year, too.
With Houck.
Yeah.
There were guys that he would not... Without question, no matter what they were. Didn't he take Houck out with a no-hitter? Remember that series?
Yeah,
again, it was the Nats. It was the last series.
And I would say that Eovaldi was the one guy he gave some rope to. He gave Eovaldi some rope.
Yeah.
So my point is possibly, meaning I'm not convinced that these games would be managed the same way if Cora's here. So, and I think that hurts them. I want Cora there as well. I think that's a factor. What do you believe?
In terms of if Cora was there?
No, would Cora have left him in?
I have to believe that there's a much higher chance that he stays in the game, yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Is that informed?
No.
That says that with a smile on his face. Chris is in Hartford. Chris, go.
Hey, Maz, you're absolutely right. You know, Story made the play before in the hole to end the game. He had to go up the middle. The problem is Dabach, and he's been a first baseman for a year now, over a year. And I don't care if he had spring training or not. He knew he was going to play first. He stretched too early. He should have went up the line and came off the corner of the bag. So, Jared, I know you played, Little League baseball, so you know that too. So stop making excuses for Bob. But I want you to tell me, because last week you said Bob hits in the summer. What's he going to do when we got to go for a World Series? Have a great day.
Okay, see you, Chris.
I mean, Bob was the reason why they would have won that game on Saturday.
Because of the triple.
Yeah, that would have changed the whole thing. Caller.
Yeah, so look, all I'm saying with regard to... Dalbec was on the wrong part of the bag.
Also, Maz, just for the record, I did play high school baseball.
Yeah, Euculus pointed this out in his... Euculus pointed this out in the broadcast, and he's right. Dalbec was on the wrong side of the bag.
Yeah. But, I'm not defending those plays defensively.
No. But I'm just at the point where I say, is Dalbec the problem, or is the fact that they built the roster expecting Dalbec to play first base for 140 games or whatever the number is? And again, maybe it's half of that because they expect Cassis to be here. But I look less at that, and I look at the roster construction. I think there was a problem with the roster construction. Right field, most notably. The Red Sox should not be in the market of making trades to get worse so they can get a couple of minor leaguers. Not anymore. Maybe 2 years ago they were in that spot. I don't think they're there anymore. Collins and Derry. Go, Colin. Colin!
Hey, Matt. Oh, yes. Hey, Maz.
Go ahead.
So my biggest problem with this team right now is the bottom of the order. When I look at Christian Arroyo, JBJ, Bobby Dalbec, I know Dalbec's young, but none of them inspire any confidence to me, especially in key situations. And I feel like that's something where they're going to have to go and get a bat because I don't think any of those guys can really hit.
Yeah. Are you worried about the bottom of the order?
Yeah, I think with Jackie, there were trends that you could look at offensively where it's like that's not bad luck. It's just it kind of is what it is. With Bobby, like I said, I'm not worried about that because I don't know how long of a leash he has with Cassis being there. But you look at his second half last year, he was statistically the best hitter in the American League last year. He was. It was him and Bryce Harper who won the MVP. Arroyo. Yeah, that's a guy that I think is capable, but like how many opportunities, you know, I feel like when you group them together as the bottom third, yeah, they're going to have to step up, but so does everyone else. Like yes, the bottom third has been an issue. Everyone has more or less been an issue besides Bogarts. And, like, obviously Devers had his moments and JD. But, yeah, the whole lot, like, Kike, the whole top, and Trevor Story, that you're not jump-starting the offense when you even have your first two guys in the lineup.
They're built to hit 1-6, Jared.
Yeah. You know what else I don't like about this?
They're getting half of those guys hit.
Yeah. What I haven't liked so far from this team is last year, and Yankee fans, I saw them make comments about this because the Yankees did last year what the Red Sox are doing this year. There's no consistency with the lineup. Yankee fans were saying, look at what the Red Sox are doing. They put the same lineup card out. They have a chance to get comfortable in their spots. We haven't seen that this year. Like, consistency with guys being like, all right, you're hitting first, you're hitting second. Like, Devers should be hitting second. He just should be, you know? And,
okay, but last night was the first time that changed.
I mean, there has been a lack of consistency in terms of, like, the lineup.
Yeah, that one doesn't bother me. I'll tell you why, because I think lineups are overrated. Ooh. And I do. I think that the fact is you change your lineup when they don't hit. If they hit, you leave it the same. So to me, it comes down to the bats. They have to hit. If this team doesn't hit, forget it. It's over.
They're going to hit, Maz.
Well, I think they're going to hit, too. I'm just telling you that right now they haven't. And if they don't, they're not going to win. They're not built that way. So, all right, as I said, it's an abbreviated program. So, Bruins pregame coming up next. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers in anticipation, taking you right up to the puck drop. Bruins and Panthers. That game's at TD Garden, Jimmy, right? It's a home game? Yeah, that's a home game. Bruins and Panthers right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We will see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.